Beginnings are important. We know that. And today, the message starting for the faith is from Dr. Don Wilton, and we'll take us to scripture about that. This is the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilton. We call it the encouraging word because the Bible is our source of encouragement. And I believe you'll be encouraged today as we open the word in just a few moments with this message, Starting for the Faith. I also want to remind you that in this brand new month, wow, happy June, by the way, June 2020, what a year it has been. The book Defying the Odds could very well be one of the most important books Dr. Don's ever written. If you'd like to take a peek at it and see what's going on with that, you can find it on our website at tewonline.org right now. That's tewonline.org. But right now, let's first open our hearts and open God's Word together for today's message, Starting for the Faith, with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, the one thing we do know is that God is God, and He never stops loving us, even in the middle of a storm. And He not only foresees, but He carries us through, brings us out on the other side. And repeatedly throughout Scripture, we see the Lord our God, our strong fortress and our tower, delivering. He's the God of deliverance. And He restores and He rebuilds lives because that's who God is, because He loves us so much. And we need to continue to pray and seek God's face. And these are exciting days, very exciting days. And God's doing something. God's doing something. God's trying to tell us something. I do know this, in America, by whatever definition, we've never had a better opportunity for we Americans to get our act together, start showing people as we're doing what we're made of and how we love all people and how we serve one another. And for those of us who are Christians, this is what it's all about. This is why we do what we do. Now, folks, I'm going to share something with you this morning that's gold, not because I'm saying it. I'm going to give you two just quick illustrations before I open God's Word in the book of Acts in chapter 1. I want you to hear this. If you're going to build a house, if you're going to build a house, what do? You decide you're going to build a house. What do? Well, we know what you do. You get plans, you dream, you visionize. You know how many rooms you want. You want to build a house, what do? You have the end in mind. You see what the final product is, the finished product. And then you set about it systematically. You've got to get architects. You've got to draw plans. You've got to give attention to detail. And then you've got to start with the foundation. You don't start with the roof. I just wanted to let one or two of you know if you've ever tried that. You start with the foundation, right? If you're getting married, I want to encourage you right now. If you're about to get married, try together with the person that you've fallen in love to think about how you plan to end up 70 years from now, 80 years from now. What would you like your life to end up as? Have the end in mind. And then establish what you need to do in order to accomplish that. One more thing. Parents, all of you parents, when you, God blesses you with children, I encourage you, sit down as mom and dad in a very significant way before the Lord and determine what it is that you want your little baby son, your daughter, to eventually become. What kind of man do you want them to be? What kind of woman do you want them to be? Then determine what it is that you need to do in order to best accomplish that. And then get on and do it one step at a time because you're building something for the future. I've got so many illustrations. I'm going to go somewhere. I promise you, I really believe as your pastor that I and so many of us really think we know where God's taking this church. As your pastor, I've been with you for nearly 25 years. I really believe God has given me a fresh vision. I didn't say that I know all the details. I don't. But I see something far greater than any of us can imagine. Now the question is, how do you suppose God wants us to get there? What do we do? We've got an incredible foundation. This is just a foundation. And I'm seeing things that are going to be here long after I'm gone, folks. I'm not talking about it has to be because it's in my lifetime or it has to be. I'm seeing something that I'm privileged to be a part of, that children being born today are going to be able to stand upon. This is what happened in the book of Acts. I want to read to you, and I tell you for the sake of time, I'm going to read to you just a few verses and I'll fill in the gaps. Can I do that? I don't want to shorten the Word of God, but I want you to look at the book of Acts and chapter 1 and beginning at verse 15. Tell you what, let me read it through and I'm going to discipline myself not to stop. So I hope you're ready. Acts chapter 1 verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. The company was about 120, and he said, "Fellow believers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us, and he was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man acquired a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, which is known even to this day as the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let us another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ." So they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also Justus, and Matthias, and they prayed and said, "You, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Interesting passage, isn't it? Interesting, until you really begin to understand what God's trying to say here. There are some things that are unequivocal about these people. There were two things that you can say about them. No question about it. They loved the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, and mind, and they loved their neighbor as themselves. That was their genuine desire. They weren't perfect any more than we are. But if you were asked today, what is the two most important things we as believers should be doing in this church for the next however long God gives us together? What are the two most important that supersede anything we do? What is the absolute for this church all across the nation? I'm going to ask you the same question. What are the two single most important, fundamental, unapologetic things we have to do that are more important than buildings, carpets, choirs, preaching, anything? It just supersedes anything. Well, Jesus gave the answer. They went up to him and said, "What's the greatest?" He said, "Number one, love the Lord your God." That comes from the Talmud. It means worship God with all your heart. Number two, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Serve others. I see that everywhere. That's what it means to let worship lead, by the way. When you let worship lead, you submit, you bow, just like we were singing just now. You give everything to God, loving God, and through that love, you love everybody else with the love of God. Any further questions? Nothing else is important according to Jesus. I didn't say not everything else is not relevant, but I've just explained to you why in this church, nobody gets up and gets into a knockdown drag out over the color of carpets. We don't do that. We don't have business meetings that go on for hours with everybody getting up giving their opinion. You don't do that in this church, because this is God's church. That's why we don't vote in this church. You don't vote in a church. That's an affront to the holiness and the righteousness of God. You don't vote when it comes to what God owns. All you do when it comes to what God owns is you bless whatever it is God tells you to do. You don't vote on God. Excuse me, America, since when do you and I vote as to whether God is God? God is God. Somebody say amen in the house of God. Woo! Which renders me insignificant. I might as well sit down. Thank you. That was a wonderful time. Because actually, I've got nothing to say. So what is this all about in the Acts of the Apostles? Where does that leave us? We've got a fundamentally important part to play. Because God uses people like you and me. Isn't that great? I mean, just think of the giftedness in a congregation like this. The godly giftedness of God's people, all coming to the table, all providing input, bringing all levels of spiritual giftedness in order that we might serve our fellow man because we love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. Starting for the finish. Now, what did these believers do? Two things. They gathered themselves together. Number one, they prayed and fasted. Number two, we're doing just that. To start for the finish, to begin, they did the two most important things. You want to change the culture of a people, a mindset of a people. You want to move a nation back to God. You've got to put in place the unapologetic tenets of what God tells us to do. Gather God's people together and get on your knees and pray. Worship Him.
Isn't it remarkable how so many things begin with worship? Forgive me, I apologize for interrupting. Dr. Don insists I do so that we can talk about two things that are really important to Dr. Don. By the way, you are listening to The Encouraging Word and the message Starting for the Faith. The rest of it's on the way in just a minute with Dr. Don, so please don't go away. But number one, Dr. Don wants you to know we're here for you. This is not just a presentation. We'd love to talk with you, pray with you, and I pray that you would jot this number down and know it will always connect you with someone happy to pray. 866-899-WORD is the phone number. That's 866-899-9673. And in this particular season of life, we have really been overwhelmed at how many people are saying, you know, it's just good to talk to someone. It's good to have someone pray for me about these specific things. And then we get together later on, email, online at tewonline.org and other ways, and discover how wonderful it is to see God moving and God restoring and building back together what we thought might could never be restored. I pray that you know that we're here for you. TEWonline.org. And at the other end of 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
Now in this passage, we find what began to happen at the very start. They knew where they wanted to go. They wanted to serve their fellow man. They wanted to worship the Lord. They wanted people to come to know Christ. They wanted to build the local New Testament church. They wanted to be obedient. They wanted to be available. They wanted their lives to count. Don't you feel that? You know, I don't know whether it's just I'm getting all old and weathered and fading rapidly and all the other things that go with it. But you know, I don't know whether it's an age thing, but I find the older I get, it seems like the more I just want my life to count for something that matters for Christ. You're going to say, well, does that presuppose that you didn't do that in your younger years? Yeah. I think in my younger years, I had a wonderful time. I don't regret anything. But I do think I spent a lot of extra time on a lot of things that maybe I spent too much time on. I certainly spend a lot of time worrying about a lot of junk. Some of you are just sitting there worrying. You're worrying about it. Stop worrying. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What happened here? They gathered themselves together and they prayed. They began. They started for the finish. To the best of their feeble minds and their sinful minds, I think these early believers, they'd heard Jesus, they understood Jesus, and they knew they had a mission, they had a goal, they could see the house that needed to be built. And when they gathered themselves and they prayed, they said, Lord, show us what to go. A couple of things happened, I just give it to you. What does starting right, according to God's word, do? Number one, with them, it empowered their boldness. I love that little phrase in verse 15, I beg your pardon. In those days, Peter stood up. It empowered their spiritual boldness. Ladies and gentlemen, God is looking for men and women and college students to stand up. Listen to me, college students. I'm calling upon you to be emboldened in a spiritual way that you would stand up and be counted for Jesus. Number two, it rallies those who matter. It rallies those who matter. When you start right, when you gather yourself together and you seek God's face, it brings together the people who need to be brought together, the believers. Do you know one of the reasons why we never have general open business meetings in our church? Like y'all come? That's the reason. We don't need people in discussing God's business who don't know Jesus. How can they make decisions? And some of you need to be very careful who you seek counsel from. Some of you are going to the wrong people all the time, and you're getting shafted because they have no spiritual basis to give you guidance that's going to be well-pleasing to the Lord, albeit very good people. When you start right, when you gather believers together and you get on your face, number one, it will embolden you spiritually, but number two, it will bring to the table believers who are of the same heart, who are seeking to love the Lord their God, who are seeking to serve others in the name of Jesus, because of Jesus. Number three, it tells the truth. Starting verse 16, you know, they'd just gone through this incredible experience with Judas. Can you imagine that? You know, I've often said to myself, that must have been an horrendous shock. Everything about Judas, you know, because he was one of them, he's one of their friends. We know what happened at the Lord's Supper and how he walked out and betrayed Jesus and he was paid and what happened at the end and he ended up going and hanging himself as a result. We know all of that. Well, Peter was emboldened. He got together with the believers and he just told them the truth. This is it. This is what happened. And by the way, he didn't mince his words. He said, Judas was among us, but he walked away from Jesus. That's telling the truth. Didn't tiptoe around the tulips. By the way, the Bible says in the last days, there is going to be a great, great level of apostasy. There are going to be more and more people who claim to be on the inside of the church who are going to turn their backs and walk away from God. Just tell the truth. Number four, fourth thing that happened when they started for the finish, the starting right chooses godly leadership. I will tell you one thing, folks. As your pastor, I will say this. You have, over all of these years, taken a very serious attitude when you put in leadership in this church, godly men and women. You've done it, and I present to you the product. This is what it produces. The men and women who step up, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. I'm not interested in this church how much money you've got. or how many motor cars you drive, or how many chairmanships you've had, or which office you've occupied. What I want to be about in this church as we seek to reach this world for Jesus Christ is that godly people come to the table and that we seek the face of God and we cry out to Him. We let worship lead and we say, oh God, you show us what you want us to do, because we want to love our neighbors with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to overflow with the love of Jesus. What happened here? You know, because they started right, what it meant was that they kept the main thing, the main thing. I think the key verse in all of this is verse 22. Bible says we've got to have another godly leader in this position, because together we've got to lead our people in the one thing we must do, and that is to bear witness to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Godly leaders keep the main thing, the main thing. Now, I want you to know that I will get involved and engaged in everything you and I can as we serve our fellow man. I'm so excited about the bridge, about our missions teams all over the world. I'm so grateful for our rapid response teams, for everything. Listen, it goes on morning, noon, and night, but let's never take our eyes off the main thing. Let's always be a people about Jesus. So what does this mean for us? Number one, this is what it means. Let's just keep standing up for Jesus. As we move into the future, let's just keep being emboldened by the Spirit of God in the right way, that the Lord would give us the strength, the ability to stand up in the world in which we live. Number two, keep our eyes open for spiritual warfare. Church, I serve you notice, and I'm going to be preaching on spiritual warfare. Keep your eyes open. Satan does not like what's going on in this church. He's not going to like the fact that you and your wife are living for Jesus. He will not like the fact that you are bringing up your children to the best of your ability in a Christian home. He's not going to like the fact that you've got a Christian business. He's not going to like the fact that you understand what it means to tithe to your church, to give what you have to the Lord's work, and to make a difference. He's not going to like that. Keep your eyes open. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Are you listening? And in every biblical model, don't kid yourself. Spiritual warfare doesn't always come from Main Street or from the White House or from down the road or from the ACLU or from the newspaper. It comes from within the church, from the most unlikely sources. When you start right, when you start for the finish, tell you God will do something. I'm praying that you would be fortified in your marriage. Parents, I'm praying for you that you're going to be strong. Your kids are out there in a thunderstorm, in a torrential downpour of opposition to the gospel. They are going to hammer you and batter you. You talk about storm surge. Our kids on our campuses are facing an unmitigated challenge today. Keep us strong. Keep standing up. Watch out for spiritual warfare. Keep telling the truth. Stand on the truth of God's word. Don't back down. There is no room for belligerence and anger and all this stuff that goes on. Speak the truth in love. Get alongside people, but be a man of your word. Be a woman of your word. As a believer in Christ, stand up for Jesus. Just be a living witness. What does it mean for us? Keep following godly leaders. I want to be a man in perpetual submission. The model in a local church like this, if as your pastor, the world out there looks at and says, well, you know, Don Wilton's at the top of the chain there because he's the top guy. Well, if you look at it, what's the biggest challenge about this, folks, is actually I'm the bottom guy. God's call to me is to be the mat upon which people wipe their feet. Jesus' model was the servant model. For all of us, that's a jolly hard thing to do. How do you get this mix between being the father in your home and leading your home and yet putting your hands around your wife and your children and loving them tenderly in submission to your whole family. How do you get that balance? You know, God does that. God does that. This is a spiritual thing. This is a wonderful spiritual thing. And God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. And then, of course, one more thing. What does this mean to us? It means that if we're going to start for the finish, we got to keep the main thing. I'm just telling you, folks, it's never an issue in this church, but it must never be an issue. We need to have people out there saying, gosh, man, all they want to talk about is Jesus over there. And we know this, so when you talk about, when you focus on Jesus, it just swoops us up in everything. We've got a lot to do, folks.
It may seem trite, it may seem an old song title you remember, or a theme, but it's so profound. Jesus is the answer to whatever problem you're facing. And it starts with a personal relationship with Him. Would you take a moment? We have another word from our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name.
Did you just give your heart to Jesus Christ? If you did, Dr. Don has wonderful resources he wants to put in your hands. So would you call us and let us send these materials to you? Our number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to put these resources in your hands. If you'd rather type, you can text with us and type with us on our website as well at tewonline.org. As a matter of fact, that's where you'll find that book I was talking about earlier, Defying the Odds and Faith in the Midst of Crisis. My goodness, now more than ever, what a powerful message. Here's Liz with all the details.
Right now, you may be driving in your car or sitting in the comforts of your home. Perhaps you may be at work or listening to us in a prison cell. Wherever you are, I have an encouraging word for you today. And that word is, God is in control. He is sovereign over the universe. His plan for your life remains intact, and He has not changed. He is right there with you. This month, with your support to the encouraging word, Dr. Wilton will send you two powerful resources, Faith in the Midst of Crisis, a new message available on CD or DVD, along with a copy of his book, Defying the Odds. You will be deeply encouraged, strengthened, and filled with hope to defy anything set before you. Call us at 866-899-WORK and request Faith in the Midst of Crisis on CD or DVD, along with the bonus book today. An operator is standing by to take your call. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
That number again is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at tewonline.org and join us again tomorrow for another encouraging word from God's Word.